It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game, and head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
Are you ready for a Jones and Mego reunion, Mego?
Hello, I'm here. Hello, how are you?
Doing great.
I was saying this is like a divorce couple. We're just here to see our daughter graduate. We're just trying to get along for a couple days here. It's going to be fine.
Yeah. So you're in for the rest of the week, right?
Yeah, I'm in this time slot through Thursday. And then Friday, we have a morning show takeover with Shime and myself.
Wait, Friday the 4th of July? You're working on the 4th?
Yeah.
Oh,
just
dang.
Wait. It's going to be a show that Ken Laird regrets scheduling.
Wow, I didn't realize Ken was making you do that on Friday.
Look, I just took an entire week off, plus going to the Outer Banks, so I understand.
I heard you and Greg were just talking.
One for you, one for me, one for you. That's how it works in this business.
Nice. You and Greg were just talking Outer Banks.
Greg was trying to like come in and impress me, drop all his knowledge of different things in the Outer Banks. He was like, you know, the brew through, this beach. Then he tried to hate on Maryland crabs, and I was like, you may go now.
Yeah, get out of here.
Yeah, get out of here with that.
All right, so you're in Friday on the morning show, 10 to 2 all week. It's Jones and Mego here today. On WEEI, you can interact on the phone, 617-779-7937. That's also the text line. You can also interact Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. Watch along and chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat there. And watch on YouTube by subscribing to WEEI. Red Sox dropped 2 out of 3 again this weekend. They have what really is a perfect weekend for the Red Sox. They on aggregate, outscored Toronto over the 3 games, but 2 were horrible. They do nothing offensively in 2 of them. The middle game, they, of course, have an offensive outburst. They win 15-1, which feels like how this team has gone all year. All the scoring comes in bunches. The wins haven't been enough since the Rafi Devers trade. You look at the Red Sox, how can a team be under 500 at this point in time, 3 games under 500, with a +10 scoring differential? This weekend is it. That's exactly how you do it. You lose the series, you outscore the other team, and the Red Sox feel like they are circling the toilet. So are they dead, Mego? Is this team dead?
They're not, but they're certainly on life support. And you say it kind of demonstrates the team to this point this year. I kind of feel like it's been the last couple years this is this team. And the one part of this weekend that I think really holds true for who the team is an identity, as they issues with defense and issues with pitching. Where I know that the rotation is rounding out a little bit. You got Giolito coming into form, and he looks serviceable to good now. But Walker Buehler is a serious issue for this team. And it's starting to feel like Chris Sale-ish without the Chris Sale upside, where after the game, he's just talking about how embarrassed he is to be walking out to the mound, which for some reason is falling apart late in games, literally. But walking out and like putting that stuff out there. And it's like, yeah, I feel bad for watching you, but I also just don't want to watch this at all. So I say this Red Sox team is not dead, but they're close to it. And you got to start seriously looking at the trade deadline and saying they're really inching towards a selling team.
Yeah, so I think the number for me, they're actually right on it. They're three games out of a playoff spot. Now, there's a lot of teams around them. You know, they're battling with a lot of other teams. Cleveland's in front of them. Texas is in front of them. The stupid Angels, who they can't beat for some reason, are in front of them. And those teams are all out of the playoffs. Then you get No. Then you get the Mariners, Blue Jays, and Rays. So my cutoff for the Red Sox is at the trade deadline, at the All-Star break, rather, they can't be any further out than they are. Like, three games is about my comfort level, and even that's pushing it. They have three with Cincinnati. They go to Washington. They have three with Colorado, four with Tampa. Then you're at the All-Star
break. But also, you hear about those teams, like, okay, the Nationals, Colorado. Like, these are teams that they should not just win the series. I mean, if you want to show yourself as anything besides a team that should sell off a couple pieces at the trade deadline, like, they got to maul those teams.
Yeah.
Those teams, those are the teams that you see and you prove. Those are the teams that actually suck. We're a team that's figuring it out. And so we'll see these teams. And I feel like if you collapse against one of those teams, one of those series, then it's enough to look at it and say, that's who you really are. Like, you guys are not a serious team.
Yeah, so this is about, again, the line for me. Because you could talk yourself into, Anthony had a good weekend. You know, Meyer's at least been good defensively. Bregman is due back after the All-Star break-ish. I don't know if it's going to be the first game. But if you're three games out and, you know, you're treading water, I still think the Red Sox should be in, looking to add at the trade deadline. You know, hopefully at some point, calling up the guys they got in the Devers trade. I know Hicks hasn't been great in Worcester. Harrison was terrible in his first start. Harrison should be here in place of Walker Buehler. I don't care what he's doing in Worcester. I'm done with Walker Buehler. It's not the home runs. It's not the struggles. It is very Chris Sale-ish, as you put it, where he's just, just really piling on and saying, oh, I don't want to be out here. I shouldn't. I got to get it figured out. I feel terrible. Like, all these things, the self-flagellation that Sale used to do. But at least Chris Sale, to my recollection, every time the bases were loaded, wouldn't walk somebody in or hit somebody or walk somebody else. It's like these are completely self-inflicted by Walker Buehler, who still, and it pisses me off, the pitch was way outside the strike. You see him walking off the mound again yesterday?
Yeah.
He did it again yesterday. The pitch wasn't in the strike zone. You're Walker Buehler. You stink. And you're expecting calls from the umpire, like walking off the mound, and then it snowballs on him because he thought he was out of the inning. He's pissed at the ump, and now he's walking guys in with the bases loaded. So I would get him off the team. I would get Harrison up here, but that would be my cutoff. If you're within three
Harrison,
games.
Harrison, Hicks, they both suck.
They haven't been good yet. They haven't done anything yet up here, but they haven't been good in Worcester. Stay within three games. You can add at the deadline and hopefully make a bit of a run. But yeah, I'm not feeling great about the direction. I don't know how you could.
You also hear Buehler after the game talking about his mechanics and like how his delivery is just too low and he's got to get it up. And well, that sounds weird. Don't isolate that.
Yeah,
but
Nick,
like, and
Nick knows.
This is issues that go back to 2022. And I'm like, it's 2025. If you haven't figured it out at this point, I don't have confidence that the next start is the one. So
no.
I think he's obviously the most glaring piece that you have to make an adjustment on. But it does feel like, and I don't want to like go back to the core well, but it does feel like to me, there's just this underlying thing of mediocrity of the last at least 3 years of this team where this is where we are every year. And this was the year that it was supposed to be different, where you go in, they actually spend money in the offseason, they bring in Garrett Crochet, who is awesome. But other than that, it's like you just sit in mediocrity and we come up close to the trade deadline. We're a month away from the trade deadline and we say, are they a good team or are they a bad team? Are they a team who's figuring it out? Or are they a team who is worth investing in? Or do you just sell off a little bit here and there? And it's like they've just been fence sitting for the most part for the last 3 years.
Yeah, it's not great. So I was about to ask you, and maybe you just answered it. I was about to ask you what the biggest issue is on the team. You unprompted brought up Cora's name. Do you think he's the biggest issue they have?
I think it's something with the overall philosophy of the team. And so if it's Cora, if it's the staff, if it goes back to how they're hiring or, you know, not, I'm not talking about the AI stuff that came out that 2 weeks ago, whether you believe in that or not. I think you have to look at core and something with the philosophy with the coaching, because the defense has not been good for years at this point. And it's not like, oh, it's okay, you have somebody like Rafael Devers playing third base and he's just not good at that position. And then you get into all the stuff with that. But it's like these stupid gaffes that you saw, like with the Nate Eaton misplay. Like, it's just stuff that should be routine for major leaguers. And it's not just one guy on the field. It's multiple guys at different points. And of course, you have guys like Rafaela who are going to be elite. And I'm not talking about that. But there's something that does not translate. Leaving guys stranded on third base all the time. Like, there are corrections that they talk about and they just never make. So I think it's a philosophy thing.
Yeah. So I've been pretty pro Craig Breslow. I like most of the moves he made this year, including the Devers trade. I wanted Devers off the team. And so I definitely wanted more in return. I would always want more in return. But I understand ownership had a hand in that. So I've been pretty pro Craig Breslow. I've been pretty anti Cora now for a while for exactly what you said. These issues span multiple GMs. Maybe it is more organizational than anything else. But yeah, I think Cora's getting into a tenuous spot where the team's got to start playing better or he's going to be the one to go. And I wouldn't have thought this a couple of weeks ago, but I think the way Cora handled Devers in ownership's mind, because they are very, very pro Alex Cora, I think the way he handled Devers, which was hands off, I'm not going to get in the middle of it. I'm going to let Craig Breslow be the bad guy. John Henry has to get off his ass and fly to Kansas City. Like, I'm just not going to be the guy who does it. I think that put Cora in a tougher spot with ownership than maybe he's ever been, short of getting suspended from Major League Baseball. So, yeah, I never would have thought we would have been here. We talked about this late last week. I now think Breslow's safer than Cora in ownership's mind. I think the fan base feels differently about that. And you can let me know if I'm wrong, 617-779-7937. But I think the fan base may feel differently than ownership. I think ownership is more aligned with Breslow right now than they are with Cora. And I think these are a big couple of weeks for Cora going into the All-Star break. Because again, if the team doesn't turn it around, I know he just signed a new deal. I heard Wiggy say this today. Devers had just signed a new deal. They got his ass out of town. We all want Walker Buehler DFA'd, right?
Right.
I want him
just
off the team.
Get him out. Just get him out.
Get him out of here. Bring him out of here. Bring somebody else in.
I don't want to see his face anymore.
He makes $21 million. We're all like, get him off. They just gave him $21 million. Get him off the team. Cora's the same amount of money. It's $21 million. So eat that contract. Curtis made this point today. It's not held against you with the luxury tax. If the team doesn't turn it around and you're spinning your wheels, fire him. See if you can get something out of the team. And if not, let Breslow pick his manager and try to be more aligned, because they have, to use the Red Sox word, because they haven't been that for a long, long time, manager and GM.
Okay, backing up a little bit there, though. What do you think is the reason up to this point that Cora has seemed to be so Teflon in this organization? Because I was thinking like a month ago when they had that absolutely putrid stretch of starts from Giolito and then Walker Buehler. And I'm looking at Cora and Andrew Bailey and everyone's talking about Andrew Bailey's got to go. And to me, I'm like, that's just another fall guy. Maybe you think that his approach with the off-speed stuff absolutely sucks. But in the grand scheme of the organization, I think that they could fix something around him and he would be a fall guy. Why does Cora have, to this point, the leash that he's had, where the team performs so badly and it's almost like the front office slash ownership is willing to say, well, it's not the manager's fault. Like last year, it's not the manager's fault. Clearly, we didn't go out and actually pay these guys like a serious franchise.
I would imagine it's two things. One, you know this. We interviewed him in afternoons weekly during baseball season. Well, for 1 year.
Sick brag, bro.
The year he didn't back out of it. We interviewed him for 1 year and, you know, he's pretty good at playing the game, right? I mean, he's pretty good at playing the media game.
He's charming.
Charming. Good word. And so I bet ownership just likes him. And I bet he's good at when he has to and when John Henry or more likely Sam Kennedy or whomever need information about what's really going on with the team. I bet he's pretty transparent with them, or at least tells them what he wants to hear. So I bet he's charming with them. I bet he plays the game with them because that's what he does. I also think he is pretty good in terms of, the media side of things, the outward-facing portion of
it. He's the only person who can talk like a normal human being in that franchise.
And so I think they feel like they need that, and he is good at that. That's probably the thing Cora's best at. Forget his in-game management or, knowing when to pull a pitcher or knowing how to play matchups with his relievers or pinch hitters, all that stuff. I think that's the thing Cora's best at. He is a human being, exactly, and I think they feel like they need that. So that those would be reasons why I think they he had been Teflon. They keep him employed. I think it has more to do with that than like X's and O's strategy or, you know, his in-game management. I don't think any of those are elite and maybe not even very good.
So I think that that's kind of indicative of the issues with the Red Sox on a whole in this chapter of them, is that they seem so concerned with how things look to the outside and what they're presenting rather than what's happening on the field. And maybe that's like you're smiling. Maybe that's a very shallow take. But I think back to everything that they just went through with Rafi Devers. Why did they give Devers that extension in the first place? Because Xander Bogaerts had just left the building. They knew the fan base was super pissed off. It was couple little time after Mookie Betts left, and so then they want to make the fan base happy and they pay Rafi Devers. And then when Rafi Devers starts being obstinate and saying the wrong thing in public, they go and flip him there. And I feel like because, as you said, because you have your manager and Alex Cora like saying the right thing publicly and seemingly in closed door meetings, being a mostly good, charming guy and playing the game and whatever, like that's what they care about. And I just think that that's, I don't know. I think it's a very shallow, half-hearted approach to what they're doing. And maybe Craig Breslow is the one that will actually get down to brass tacks, but he's going to do it with a calculator and a computer system where he's like running AI bots out to screen 1,000 applicants.
I mean, look, his computer and AI system gets him Alex Bregman and it gets him Garrett Crochet. I'm okay with the computer system, quite frankly. And I think Cora is on thinner and thinner ice. And so what do the Red Sox do there? Again, you can discuss on the phones and text line. If they fall out of it, Mego, and some may argue they're already out of it, dead on arrival, season's over, three games out, they're behind a bunch of teams, they're in the middle of the pack of what already is a bad American league. Would you look to sell if it goes the other way at the trade deadline? And if so, who are you moving on from? We've talked a lot about maybe Alex Bregman. If you're worried about him opting out, he would have value. Duran's name has come up a ton. Chapman. No one's taking Walker Buehler. I don't know who else I'm missing. Maybe Abreu. But is there an obvious name if they fall out of it and they look to sell that you would move on from?
Absolutely Chapman. Absolutely Chapman. I mean, he's been nails. He's been, I think, because of his position, like a little less regarded than obviously somebody like Garrett Crochet. Bregman, I'd rather see you try to rework that deal and like try to get something for him long term, especially after you did what you did with Devers. It would, if you're concerned with what the fan base thinks, like go out and give him a new deal for Bregman. But Chapman is the most obvious one. He's been awesome all year. He's 37 years old. He's on a 1-year deal. He should be a pretty easy trade piece if you look for somebody who is desperate as a actual contender in that role. So I feel like he's the easiest one to flip without actually trying to mortgage something long term as these younger guys are coming up.
What about Duran? Where do you stand on him?
I'm not ready to move him. I don't think that he's going to be as great as he was at times last year, but I still think that, especially if you move him right now, you'd be selling a little low because of his production right now. And I don't know. I think that I have a certain fondness for him, and I think it is kind of like a tough position to put yourselves in, and the younger guys on the team even. If you move Devers and then you also go and move Duran, even though he's not, you know, producing the way that you'd hope so far this year compared to last year, I'm not ready to move Duran. And are you ready to move Duran? Are
no.
you like, he's the big trade? I know he would be a giant trade piece. I'm also not confident that at this point in time that they're just going to get back what he's anything close to what
well,
he's worth.
Well, so right. I mean, tell me what you get and then maybe I could be coaxed into it. You get a real starting pitcher to follow Crochet and now your outfield is what? Anthony, Rafaela, and Abreu, and they're in there every day. All right. I can maybe talk myself into that. But no, I'm not looking to trade Duran. I like his play style. It's gotten him into trouble in the last week. He's not producing the way he should be. He's running into outs. He's been poor defensively. But I do think he's a better player than he's shown. I wouldn't want to sell low either. So look, I'd trade pretty much anybody. I would need a lot for Duran, and I don't know that baseball would be giving you what you want. I think teams would be looking to buy low, and I don't want to do that.
What if you trade Duran, you get a starting pitcher back, and they take Walker Buehler forever?
Oh, done. Done deal.
In perpetuity.
Walker
Buehler. They have Walker Buehler, and you never have to see him again.
Walker Buehler. I'd feel better if they DFA him, because then I know that Henry's not trading him just to save money. They're just like, we're done with this guy. But yeah, if Buehler's in the deal, I could be coaxed into it for sure.
It's a sweetener.
617-779-7937. We're starting Red Sox here today. This team, another series loss this weekend. They're three games out. They're three games below 500. It is Crochet on the hill tonight. But that doesn't guarantee anything because the Red Sox need to actually, you know, score some runs when he's pitching. So what should the Red Sox do at the trade deadline? Should they be looking to add? Should they be looking to sell? And how safe is Alex Cora? We'll get into that. Plus, NHL free agency starts tomorrow. Some good Bruins rumors are out there. The NHL draft happened over the weekend. It seems like Don Sweeney actually did pretty well for himself, shockingly. And we'll get to the Celtics. Free agency starts tonight in the NBA. So where are the Celtics at with some of these moves? Could they still deal off Jaylen Brown? Lots to get to here on Jones and Keefe. Mego in for Keefe today.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today and let us surprise you.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Yeah, you know, I really enjoyed every second of playing with him and being his teammate. I think he's one of the smarter baseball players I've played with. He's really good. Just the little things and his approach and game plan. And, obviously, was shocked, but it's well above my pay grade, what I'm supposed to do.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Mego in for Keefe, taking your phone call, 617-779-7937. That was Alex Bregman, who discussed a couple of things with Tom Caron on Nesson over the weekend. Number one, his timeline, which I am annoyed it's taking him so long to come back. I wouldn't say I'm questioning him or his toughness or anything like that. Just, you thought when he first got hurt, he'd be back by now. And the fact that it's not until after the All-Star break, and I'm still skeptical if he's going to be back right after the All-Star break, or if it's going to be like another week or two or a month after that. Like, I don't think they've firmed that up. He also discussed the Rafi Devers trade for the first time. And he said, way above my pay grade, smartest guy I ever played with. Really enjoyed playing with him.
That's mean to the other guys he's played with.
Oh, it's, you think that's a shot at all of his current teammates.
Yeah, that's what he's, and all teammates he played with in Houston.
Good point.
It's quite rude of him.
Good point.
Bregman coming out, shots fired.
Good point.
Bregman, to the rest of the MLB.
Actually a terrible teammate. Yeah, good point. Oof. Never mind.
Don't try to extend him to a new deal.
Where did you come down on the Devers trade? Were you done with him? We were on the day he actually mouthed off in spring training.
Sick brag, bro.
When was this? It was like February. He was at spring training. He's like, no, I'm not moving off of third base. I'm not going to DH. Not doing any of this. So were you done with Devers? Did you hate the return? Are you upset with ownership? Did you still want Rafi here? Where did you come down on the trade?
So, like most people, I hated the return. I thought the return was pretty putrid. But the one thing that I really didn't like from that weird Zoom that they did like 30 hours later from the trade was when they talked about having to move him out for the betterment of the younger players. Like when they talked about being intentional with the clubhouse and what kind of environment they wanted for the younger players. I just thought that that was a bad look for them because they had spent 90% of that Zoom call talking about how they had to look at themselves, hold a mirror up, figure out how they got to the point that they did with that homegrown all-star. And it's like, okay, that's refreshing. That's even if it's just, I don't know, it's trying to be nice after you shipped a guy out of here and trying to save face. Like that looks good. And then at the end, it's like, basically, we can't have our younger guys poisoned by this guy who won't do what we want. And I see both sides of it. Like when all this stuff came out about the lying in the offseason, telling him that Alex Bregman was just smoke and mirrors from the media and that they weren't actually going to bring him in to replace him. Like that's a bridge too far. And I don't like how Rafi comported himself. And I thought he was pretty ridiculous with some of the stuff he said through the interpreter. But at the same time, it's just, it shouldn't have gotten to that point. And then them basically saying that he's poisoning the well when I don't think he was that kind of guy. I think he just didn't want to do what they wanted him to do. I don't think he was like trying to start a revolution in the clubhouse.
No, but I do think when your best player is out for himself, or you're at least your most highly paid player, highly compensated player, guy who's been here the longest, when he's out for himself, I do think that trickles down. Whether he was openly, you know, trying to create a revolt, I don't believe that either. I'm with you. I found the scapegoating Devers for, you know, poisoning the clubhouse for the young players. I didn't get on board with that. I just think he was bad for the whole team. I don't think it was just the young players. I think it was bad for the whole team.
So you wanted them to go farther with it.
Well, yeah, I just don't think it was just about the young kids. I don't think it's just about Anthony and Meyer and Campbell when he was on the team. I think it was about the whole situation. It was off this year. This team is way more talented, or at least should have been with Devers. Way more talented, way better than they had shown. They should be a playoff team this year. Even without Devers, they should still be a playoff team, assuming Bregman comes back. I think they're way better than they were a year ago. They're three games under 500 right now. A year ago, on July 1st, Bradfoe wrote this today, if they lose tonight, they'd be four games under 500. A year ago on July 1st, they were four games over 500.
And they won the World Series. So that was, you know, I'm kidding.
Oh, I was going to say, I was like, wait a minute. I was like, huh? Was that a shot?
They've got time to turn it around.
I didn't know if this was a shot at me predicting them to be in the World Series. I didn't know what that was.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. No, I do that most years. And so they're way more talented than they were a year ago. They're a way better roster than they were a year ago. I think, I mean, maybe you disagree, and they're going to be eight games worse, depending on how tonight goes on July 1st, midway through the year. Something doesn't add up. And I think your highest paid, arguably best player not being on board had a lot to do with that, personally. And the Red Sox have been terrible since they traded him. They started off with one good series in Seattle. They've been terrible. They can't score. They really weren't scoring with him in June. He's gone to the Giants. He's not hitting. They're not winning. And they're still not scoring runs. So I don't think he's been a big difference maker there. And I don't think he was a big difference maker here. And I just think it was time to move on. The return wasn't enough. Scapegoating him for ruining the young kids or getting them off to slow starts, I agree, was too much.
Made him sound like he's like some creepy fifth-year senior who's got fireworks in the back of his car in the parking lot, like luring the freshman kids over.
I just think he was just like on his own planet and done with the organization.
I just think he was selfish.
Yeah.
He was selfish. Yeah. He's been through a couple GMs. Cora's been around him. He's like, I'm not going to do that. You guys are asking me to do something different every 3 weeks. I've got my money here. Like, I don't want to play ball with this anymore. And that's who he'd become. But I don't think that he was turning around and, like, telling younger guys, these guys don't know what they're doing. You know, like, really poisoning the well.
And in fairness, I was worried about that Christian Campbell story.
They don't know what the f*** they're doing.
Like,
there's
guys who poison the well in locker rooms who turn and they're like, man, this franchise is crazy.
Yeah.
They're out of sorts. Like, you go other places. It's not like this. I don't think he was doing any of that. I think he was probably just, you know, sitting around eating in the locker room and being like, I'm not playing defense anymore.
Yeah, I'm not doing it. And so, no, I was really worried about the Christian Campbell story, which June Lee reported on.
Yeah, we just got a text about it. Yeah. That he got mad at Campbell for refusing to play, for trying to play first base in his place.
Now, who knows what really happened, but Passan refuted that from multiple sources, and Campbell himself refuted that. Cora kind of sort of refuted it. Cora was like, well, he didn't volunteer. We made him go to
first. The issue with that is it's a Keefe report. So this is like, now this is how I'm branding these reports.
This
it doesn't mean
report?
It's not true.
Oh, I see.
It means that you
I don't
reported...
know if Keith's going to like that terminology.
No. Yeah. It means, let me explain.
Yeah.
It means you reported something that the player doesn't like and is almost impossible to prove. So the player comes, so other guys around the player come out and say, that's not true.
Yeah.
And then everyone says, why'd you make that up?
Yeah. So
why'd you say that? That's not true. There's just no way, like, it's just a tough spot.
That's fine.
You got to be very brave to go out and put that out there.
I would, oh, I see. Keith is hashtag brave. I get it. He's
a hero.
Yeah, he's brave and strong and a hero. I see it. I think he will like that terminology. So, no, I was very worried about the Campbell report. I guess I wouldn't totally rule it out either.
I don't totally rule it
out. It's at least mixed reporting on it, so I wouldn't go with it as fact. But, yeah, I don't think Devers was good for the team. I don't. Bob is in Warwick. Hello, Bob.
Hello there. What's your name, Jones?
Yes. And Mego.
Hi.
Okay. Mego. I've heard Mego for many years.
Okay.
What I want to talk about is John Henry.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, Bob.
John Henry.
John Henry, yep.
John Henry is the problem, and Cora's secondary the problem, both of them. Not Breslow. John Henry's too cheap to get rid of Cora because he's still got to pay him. So he'll keep on for another couple of years because he doesn't want to pay Cora plus a new manager.
Okay. He's never fired a manager in season.
The guy is drunk.
Yeah, he's not drunk. I will say that. And so he's never fired a manager in season. So I don't know that Cora would be the first guy, but I do think he's getting into dangerous territory. Like figure it out by the All-Star break. If not, I could see him being the first guy to get fired, independent of the money. And I guarantee you, John Henry doesn't want to pay two managers. He's right about that. But he's not going to have to do that until the offseason. Right? You're just going to have an interim manager in the meantime, whether it's Vasquez or whomever. So, yeah, I could see him being the first, the way things are going, especially because he invested in the team this year and they're getting nothing out of the manager.
Yeah, absolutely. This was supposed to be the year that they actually pushed on stuff instead of just saying that they were going full throttle and then not spending any money. I'm curious about your turn towards confidence in Breslow, because as we go on in this show, I'm starting to think, is it the alignment, to use the Red Sox term, with Theo that keeps you confident in Breslow?
Well, no, it's pretty simple. I don't like the Walker Buehler move. I mean, that one's
right.
Horrendous.
No, that's nobody likes that.
But I don't know, most of the moves that he made this offseason have been good. They're all the team's best players. Bregman, Crochet, Chapman, who you think they can at least get a haul for and has been very good. Even Narvaez. I mean, those are four moves, arguably the team's best players. He put them all on the team. So, I mean, I kind of believe in those moves. Now, his trade deadline last year was horrific. And if he has another horrific trade deadline, maybe I'll feel different. But I don't know. Almost every move he made this season, short of Walker Buehler, but, you know, a high hit rate this offseason, it wasn't perfect. Even the Giolito signing from a year ago is starting to come around. I don't know. I just feel like he's been a way better GM than Bloom. That's a low bar. And I believe in him more than I believe in the manager. So I got to pick one. It's him.
Do you care about the Sportsology stuff at all? Like all the stuff about him cleaning house in the front office and scouts.
You're
an effing stiff.
I was unaware of this report until Curtis asked Breslow about it. I was unaware that they fired the scout that signed Roman Anthony.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. And so that one I don't love. But largely, if you're going to bring in Breslow, feel however you want about him. He should be allowed to fill it out with his guys and people, I think, who share a similar vision. Why would you keep holdovers from Chaim Bloom? Why would you keep holdovers from Dombrowski and Cherington? Like, why are all those guys still? Breslow should bring in his own staff.
Well,
right?
I get that. There's a certain level to it that rubs me the wrong way when it's like an outside consulting firm. To me, that's just so Bain Capital, so, you know, Boston Consulting Group, just naming people that I used to date a long time ago that I didn't enjoy.
Yeah, it feels impersonal. I bet it just gave Breslow cover to be like, it's not personal. We hired this consulting group and
like
they said you're out.
You got a guy kicking around for 20 years who actually helped back when the team won World Series. And you're like, well, the consultant who came in from the fancy firm, the Sportsology guy, says that you haven't kept up with the times, so you have to get out. There's a certain like impersonalness that I think just tracks with a lot of what people feel about Breslow, which is he's just typing everything into some kind of Oregon Trail like computer simulation for baseball and then turning and firing guys who have been there for 20 years.
Look, I don't want all yes men around Breslow. Like, I don't want that, but I don't think it's crazy for him to have his own guys. Like, I think you'd want that with most GMs. You would want that with most regimes. I mean, Mike Vrabel came in, it's all his own guys. So, like, I don't know.
Right, but the old guys were really, really bad.
Sure.
Like, there's some of these guys, if you're talking about
how good have these guys been here under Bloom?
Well, you're talking about somebody who signed Roman Anthony. That's a good signing.
That's a specific one that maybe I don't know that that person deserves to lose their job.
But I would say that's maybe an example of, like, ooh, should everybody go? Should everybody go? Or maybe there's some people you could learn from here.
Yeah, that's fair. The Roman Anthony one, there's probably something you can learn from. The rest of them, it's been a horrible organization now for a while. So pretty much since Dombrowski went out the door, it's been I don't know why would they need to keep Chaim Bloom's guys around. I don't know why they would need to do that. 617-779-7937. You can jump on board here. Jones and Keefe. Mego in for Keefe. We got Celtics thoughts next hour. We'll get to Brad Marchand and the Bruins, a potential reunion. Plus, Don Sweeney. Actually seems like he might have done something right in the draft. Let's get to it next.
Hello there. What's your name, Jones?
Yes.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today and let us surprise you.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Making the selection for the Boston Bruins, we have a special guest, an award-winning comedian, actor, golfer, and lifelong Bruins fan.
My name is Arthur Gilmore. How are you? Glad to be part of the 2025 NHL Draft. The Boston Bruins select from Boston College.
So that was Friday night. Bruins, number 7 pick, James Hagans, who some felt going into last year was arguably the top prospect in the upcoming draft. Did not have the most productive year at BC. A little undersized, but he's a center, which is a big organizational need. You heard Sandler make the announcement there, Mego. You just off the air, you called it what?
Bizarre?
You don't like weird? You didn't like Happy Gilmore making the pick?
I loved it. I haven't seen. Is the new one out on Netflix, Happy Gilmore 2?
The trailer is out. Is the new Happy Gilmore out? They have
25th, I think, or the 24th, maybe?
Okay, good. Inching up. So that's not out yet. I love Happy Gilmore. I think probably top three sports movie. Extremely underrated,
well,
not just Sandler.
You
rank
these. Where did it come out?
No. I did the list that you guys hated on.
That was Keith. In fairness, that was Keith who really hated it.
I did football movies.
Oh, those
and
are just
the
football.
The thing that I learned most from putting that list together is we need better football movies.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of great football movies. Excellent baseball movies. Like baseball movies, great. Golf movies, great. We don't have a lot of great football movies because it's hard to do.
Got to work on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just too big of a haul, you know? Like it's just too big of a lift.
But that would be the number three or a top three sports movie.
Yeah. I like dumb sports movies. The really serious sports movies, just I'm a little too cynical for, I think.
Billy, you're the Sandler guy. You like him making the, or you must be in on James Higgins, I'd imagine, after the draft pick.
You think that's enough to do it?
Yeah.
I don't want to watch that much hockey, but like the fact that they got Sandler was awesome.
Yeah. Okay. So you're not by proxy know, in on the prospect?
I wouldn't know if I tripped over him. And that's nothing against him. He's really good at hockey to go top 10, but like, I don't know.
I feel like you should be all in.
Maybe I will be.
Yeah, I think go get a jersey.
I like this chapter of Sandler going back to the Oscars when his thing was just yelling Chalamet at Timothy Chalamet.
And he's just a complete slob. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. He's always been a slob. But now it looks like he might be an aging, drinking a lot more slob. And I feel like it's a good lane for him to go into. So I liked it. It was just not what I was expecting.
Maybe you could properly mic him up next time, NHL. Like, leave it to the NHL. You have Adam Sandler. He's in here making a draft pick. You can't even hear the guy on the broadcast, for God's sakes. Hardly. But okay, I like that from the Bruins. I largely think the return sounds okay. Like, and the things that people are worried about with him don't bother me. Like, he's a little undersized. Fine. I would have liked him to be more of a shoot-first, less deferential player. Like, I think he went in.
That's how you're reading the assists from last year.
Yes. Well, I think he went in. He only had 11 goals,
right? You don't
see
it as ice vision?
No. He had 11 goals last year at BC. He's a point-per-game guy as a freshman, which is not bad, but I think you wanted him to be a little bit more, again, looking for his own offense. But maybe without players at BC, and I understand they're losing guys, maybe that'll happen naturally in year two. So largely, I like the pick. I like that they took a center. I like that he skews offensive. I like that, or it doesn't bother me anyway, that he's undersized. Like, way rather they bring in a skilled player than like a big 6'6 guy or a two-way guy. Like, bring in an offense-first guy, and if he's a little undersized, fine. I'll deal with that. That's the way of the NHL, the direction of the NHL. So largely, I like the pick. It feels weird complimenting Don Sweeney, but I think the returns seem pretty good.
Well, he's also 5'10". It's not like he's Tom Cruise on skates. Like, Sidney Crosby's 5'11". Like, he's undersized. Maybe that's not why he was the number one overall pick. If that's the only reason, then it feels like a steal at 7. So I like it, too. I don't know. Maybe we're being too overwhelmingly positive on it. But center has been something that's just been such a need for you for years at this point that I think it's the right move to go to.
And here's what I like about the draft largely. And again, I don't pretend to know anything about any of these guys. I'm just reading about the draft after the fact. It seemed like they got away from what they've done, which makes sense. They've drafted horribly Don Sweeney's whole tenure. So it makes sense they would try to pivot and do something different. So Sweeney had a bunch of comments after the draft, most of which I thought were kind of boilerplate standard Sweeney speak, which is fine. They brought up their director of amateur scouting, Ryan Nadeau, I think is how you say that, after day two of the draft, after the full draft. And he was asked about the direction and the pivot here on the Bruins going towards more high-end offensively skilled players. And here's what he had to say about this. I thought this was an interesting answer.
I think having more picks and having some higher picks allowed us to probably look at some players with a bit more offensive ability and upside that, you know, sometimes in the areas where we tended to be picking, we didn't have some of those players available, or the players that were, there's a lot of risk associated sometimes with that player, whether they're undersized or whether they're physically underdeveloped or whether there's just a real major lack of detail in their game where there's other players sitting there at the same spot where you maybe really appreciate their attention to detail, their heaviness, their hardness. So we didn't shy away from some of that. I just think ended up in a spot this year where we could really take some swings at some sort of higher upside offensive players that maybe in the past we haven't had as many swings on that style player.
Okay, so I don't like that he's blaming like their lack of picks and where they're picking. That's all just excuse
making. I like
the
reports on these guys.
I didn't realize hardness was something we were looking for in these prospects. But I like that they're like, all right, I'm not worried about attention to detail. I'm not worried about defense. Let's go for some real high-end offensive skill. I don't like the scapegoating and the blame of we didn't have picks and we were too good and we traded away our first-round picks. No. Swing for some high offensive upside. You have no high-end offensive upside players because you've taken no chances. So take a chance. I like that.
Yeah, that's exactly what he's saying. In the past, when we had better players and we were playing better actual hockey, it was too risky to get these offensively skilled players because they're deeper down in the draft. Now, look, because we traded away the good players and our team sucked, this is what you get now. So be happy with it.
Yeah.
Be happy with these picks.
I'm on board, to be honest, which I didn't expect to say. I think Don Sweeney did an actual good job at the draft this
weekend.
Well,
can he get them some better flights? Because they're not at development camp.
Yeah, you were telling me this. They're all delayed?
The top two. Well, the kid Higgins and the second rounder, they're not going to be there today.
Nice.
So, you know, I was
that probably goes
over
above Sweeney's. That feels like a Jacobs issue to me, not a Sweeney issue.
Okay, well, somebody's got to get them on some better flights.
Yeah, well,
I was flying over the weekend. There were a lot of ground stops. Like, I understand some of that's out of your control, but you know that he's got to be there on Monday.
By the way, so I initially saw that, in the NFL, there's a big trade. Jalen Ramsey is being dealt to the Pittsburgh Steelers, to which I said, okay, I mean, that's noteworthy, I guess, but, you know, we'll get to it later on in the show. The return just came out. Did you see this?
No.
Minka Fitzpatrick.
Okay.
So Minka Fitzpatrick is going from the Steelers to the Dolphins. The Dolphins are getting Jalen Ramsey. It's a player-for-player trade.
That is unusual.
And that means that Minka Fitzpatrick is back in the division. Which is that where he's... Did he start with the Dolphins? Yeah, thumbs up, right? That's where
they
began.
They drafted him. He didn't sign an extension, so they traded him.
And now they're bringing him back.
Now they're bringing him back.
Now, is this foreshadowing for Brad Marchand coming back to the Bruins?
Oh, great point.
Is this the universe foreshadowing something for us?
great Keefspiracy there, Mego.
Yeah.
And a great segue on top of it. We're going to discuss the latest rumors that Brad Marchand could return a possible reunion, which I know Keith is rooting against, between the Bruins and Brad Marchand. We can react to the big trade in the NFL as well. 617-779-7937. We'll do all that next.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We the people of the ballpark are all in on baseball. We deserve dingers and dogs, sunshine and a beat, a place to take it all in and let it all out. Baseball. For the people. Baseball is something else. Visit MLB.com/tickets and spend this summer with us. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.